chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, listen now, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You say, I don't believe that. It don't change one thing. It don't change one thing. If you say, I don't believe that, that's hocus pocus. It don't matter what you say or I say. It don't matter what you believe or what I believe. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. It is the recorded truth. And this is in our, this is up ahead. This is coming. Sure as you're sitting or standing this in this service this morning, this is coming. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So you're either going to be in verse number 10 and 11 and 12, things dissolving, things melting with fervent heat, complete meltdown, or else you're going to be a believer in verse number 13. Nevertheless, we, talking about a different crowd here, a different group, we, look at it, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, they rest the scriptures, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Please pray for me this morning and pray with me. Amen. Our Father, as we bow before you one more time, Lord, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand one more time behind the sacred desk here at RBT. We pray, dear Lord, for special liberty and anointing and power. Lord, I pray, dear Father, even now that all of us here would search our hearts, that the Spirit of God be not grieved or quenched in any form or fashion. Dear Lord, those things that we can change, may we change them. Those things that's out of our control, as Brother Travis mentioned, Lord, may we put them in your hands and trust you with the outcome. Lord, I love you this morning and thank you for loving me first. Help me to preach. Oh, God, as a dying man to a dying people, Lord, help me to preach as if it would be my last opportunity, this side of the grave, this side of heaven, this side of eternity, to stand before men, women, boys, and girls and warn them, dear Lord, of the wrath to come and of the end that's up ahead. We pray now you'd help us, oh God, to labor in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and power and demonstration. The last thing we need this morning is just to go through a religious service. Lord, we're needing eternal things done. Well, Lord, there's lost people here. There's people here that does not know you as their personal Savior. They know about you. They maybe even can reference some Bible facts about you, but they don't know you experientially. They don't know you personally. Dear Lord, I pray that this would be the morning that the Spirit of God, oh, would drive back every opposing force of hell. And dear God, allow the Spirit of God have liberty to work in this place. Have your way, I pray. Bring to my attention, my mind. Help me, Lord, in my thoughts this morning. Lord, to think your thoughts and my mouth be your mouthpiece. Lord, you could speak to this awaiting congregation. But Lord, I'm not just here preaching this morning. Dear God, I'm on the receiving end as well. And Lord, I thank you for, Lord, stirring my heart through the night. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, our Father, I thank you for, Lord, allowing us to arise this morning early. And dear Lord, with our thoughts upon you, and Lord, which direction you'd have us to go this morning. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not having to guess at least the direction this morning. And Lord, I pray your will would be done and get the glory. Save sinners. Stir the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing with us this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And I'm thankful for the Bible this morning. Amen. Yes, sir. I guarantee it. Anyway, here's the thought that's on my heart. I want to preach about something that everybody in here ought to be concerned about. I want to preach about the end. You can't hardly find anybody that's interested in the end. A lot of things in our natural world that you and I are familiar with has an end to it. You can read a book. I don't know how many chapters. Come to the end of it, usually, it's been a while since I've read one, but it usually at the end, they'll have the end. Amen. You can watch a movie. And at the end of it, it'll usually say the end. Amen. Everything you and I know in the natural realm has an end to it. Amen. I was thinking about, of course, about a song. A song have a start, but then a song will end. I thought about a path. You can walk a path. And that path, you may have a start, but that path will have an end. It'll have a destiny. Amen. Well, what's in our scripture here this morning is some reference to what's up ahead, what's coming. Saved or lost, amen. Both are in this chapter. God showed that to me this morning. Actually, even after I got to church, the Lord showed me that he deals in verse number 3 down through verse number 7. He deals with lost people and their response to the subject of the end or the day of the Lord, or as the reference is in verse 12, the coming of the day of God. Judgment time coming up ahead, when things shall be dissolved and melt with a fervent heat, and the heavens will be destroyed, and the earth, as you know it is right now, will be destroyed. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're lost, don't look at this world as a permanent fixture. It's leaving here, and you and I are leaving here. Because the Bible referenced on down in verse number 13, new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now that we're not going to get into a lot of the debating thoughts on that, because that's not my main focus nor the Lord's this morning. But I'm interested in how the lost people responded. I wrote this on the back of my bulletin there just a few minutes ago, and I wasn't really thinking about the message this morning as it would relate to the storm that's hitting in Florida, in that area. But I noticed as I was reading it, when it comes down to verse number 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's talking about the antediluvian flood, the flood of Noah's day. And there again, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. The Bible says it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, that settles it. And there's all kinds of archaeological findings that proves that there was a flood. Amen. Brother Mark was talking about one time, I remember some of the details of it. He remembers all the details of it. And he's talking about how that, I believe it was on Mount Everest or one of the, I believe it was Mount Everest, he's shaking his head and giving me a thumbs up, that they found seashells on top of Mount Everest. Now you, I don't know how you figure they got there, but I think it'd be a lot easier to say that that was covered with waters how it got they got there. But anyway, notice what it says here. The world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Amen. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So we have a reference here to the old world, if you want to call it that, the old world that was destroyed. The world prior to the flood in Genesis 6 and 7 was destroyed. Every creeping thing, every fowl, every beast of the field, everything breathing was destroyed, amen, except those that were on board the ark. And God promised he'll never destroy the world again by flood. He put the bow in the clouds, the rainbow, that's a sign of his covenant. I'll not destroy the world by water. Didn't say he wouldn't flood it some, but he wouldn't destroy it with water. And so I wrote this down, and I'm sure I could have wrote more down if I'd have thought about it earlier and spent some time meditating on it. But all of us have saw some news, weather, something. You've saw the all that's attached to Irma and the hurricane. And the interstates that are absolutely beyond packed and jammed. Not going in, not going to Florida, but coming out. Getting away from danger, running from danger. And Brother Scott, I thought about this morning. Most of them people did that before they ever saw a dark cloud. Son, I felt something right there. Before they ever saw a dark cloud in the horizon, they're already packing up. Why? They believed the report. Somebody that had access, earthly speaking, to a satellite was able to see where man could not see with his natural eye, and knew that danger was coming, storm was coming. And amen, you better take it seriously. And people by the thousands and thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, begin to pack up and begin to load up and begin to make plans to leave behind houses, lands, cars, possessions, amen, sentimental things. Leave it behind. Why? Getting away from danger, getting away from a storm is more important than what I drive or what I can have or what I have or any of that, amen. I've got to get away. They believed the report. Thank God for those that were reporting. Thank God for the reporters. Amen. No telling. I don't know. We still don't know as of yet the full ramifications of Irma hitting in Florida and down in that area. We don't know. It's just now starting to, I think, come in today. I believe that's right. I believe it's supposed to be hitting sometime today starting. And, but thank God for the reporters. And I read in the text, and this is just one of many several scriptures that can be used to show that judgment's coming, a storm is coming, disaster's coming, destruction is coming. But where's the reporters at? Where's the preachers that's preaching about the judgment to come? We're talking about with Irma even is inevitable. I mean, they said, look, they have the means of tracking it. And they said, look, it's going to hit. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. What would you have thought about any of the reporters that knew it but kept silent about it? You said they would have been sorry as could be to know that danger's coming, devastation is coming, possibly even death coming. Are you listening? And not say nothing about it. Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? That indicates somebody was reporting. Oh, we need to be reporting, not just as preachers, but individual Christians. We need to be reporters. That's what a witness is. We know something. We know danger's coming. We know a storm is coming. We know destruction's coming. It's not if, it's a matter of when. But there seems to be an overwhelming silence in our day of reporting of judgment. You know why? People go to church on Sunday morning, they don't want to hear that. I'm sure those in Florida, we have some here this morning, amen, that come up here from getting away from that. They probably didn't want to hear that. Are you listening? But they heard the report and they believed the report. And I'm talking about a mass exodus. They call it evacuation. I heard on the radio last night or yesterday as I was coming home from South Carolina that even now they were opening the emergency lane for people to drive in. People running out of gas. I mean, just bumper to bumper. All that the interstate could hold. And I'm sure if that was true on the interstate, I'm sure if you got on side roads and little back roads, little two lanes, I'd say it's the same thing, buddy. Amen. But we can preach about the wrath to come. We can preach about the judgment that's coming. That's inevitable. It's unavoidable. As far as it's going to hit. Amen. It's already decreed of God. But I'll tell you what, you may not can alter it. You may not can stop it at no more than they could stop. I could stop Irma, amen, or the one that hit over in Texas, or any of them that's been in history. You can't stop it. The only thing you can do is get away. Get away. Find refuge. Find shelter. Amen. A fool would say, I'm going to take my chances. And some do. Amen. Some do. Man, I've got my mind's going 100 miles an hour right now. But listen, there was reporters, and they didn't soften it up. That's another thing. I noticed about the reports I heard. They didn't soften it up, Brother Bob. They told it like it was. They said, look, it's a Cat 5. It's got this amount of radius. It's got this amount of wind, you know, miles per hour wind and storm surges. I mean, they did not soften it up. God help us knowing what the Bible says about what's up ahead. To not soften it up, afraid that we might cause somebody to get afraid or scared. Amen. Amen. It's a lot easier to get in the pulpit and tell stories and make people feel good. But what good is that when the rain starts? What if Noah would have done that? What if Noah, knowing what God said about the wrath to come and the flood that was coming and the danger and the destruction that was coming, if he hadn't have preached it? And we know for a fact that it took at least minimum 100 years. Minimum 100 years. If you just look at how old he was when he started building the ark and how old he was when he went in. Amen. And potentially it could have been 120 years. Noah preached about the wrath to come and what was going to happen. Only 7 people other than Noah was on board the ark. You know why they weren't on board the ark? It wasn't because there wasn't a door open. The door was in the side of that ark and it stayed open. It actually stayed open 10 days after they got in inside. God was very merciful and long-suffering. You know why the human race was destroyed? You know why? They did not believe the report. Hey, man. There wasn't but one on the whole planet. There wasn't but one preacher. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. Amen. That's a preacher that preaches against sin. That's a preacher that preaches the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. There wasn't but one, Brother Mark, on planet Earth that was preaching and warning men of the judgment to come. Only one. Listen, I know there's a scarcity, and it's getting more so. Further we go, it's getting more and more scarce. A man of God that wants to be true to his calling, that'll preach what God, people need to hear more than what they want to hear. May God help me. But Noah preached. Noah was a reporter. Noah didn't soften it up. Amen. I read of another one that Jonah, he went to Nineveh. He didn't soften it up either. It was a very short message, and it was this: yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And he didn't even want to go. He didn't even want the Ninevites to repent. And he went and told what God said, and the whole nation repented in sackcloth and ashes at the preaching of Jonah. Amen. Amen. I feel like a reporter this morning. Oh, mercy. And I noticed that the people that was going to be impacted by the storm that's hitting in Florida, they all started thinking, you know what? My life is top priority. You can replace cars, you can replace houses and all that, but you can't replace your life. And people need to make that a priority in our day. Amen. That's right. Mass exodus, evacuation, make the storm a priority. Everything, everywhere you look, people's packed up and leaving, trying to get out of there. And of course, some, we even heard, I won't call any names because we're being recorded, but anyway, was told that there were some that made the decision to stay. So we're not leaving, we're just going to ride it out, hope for the best. Son, I don't believe I'd want to do that, would you? My goodness. But anyway, in our text, it talks about and references the end. I want you to look with me for a few minutes here in 2 Peter chapter number 3. First of all, I want to just kind of look at this, and that is the lost people. I want to focus this morning on lost people, those that are unsaved. And both of them are dealt with in these verses. As I showed to you a minute ago, verse 3, down through verse number 7 deals exclusively with how lost people respond to the message of judgment, the message of wrath, the message of God dealing with sin. But then starting in verse number 8, he says, but beloved, So now he's not talking about lost people. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to saved people. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. He's telling now, verse number 8, all the way through verse 18, how saved people responds to this. And so first of all, let's look at how that lost people responds to it. How does lost people respond? Well, verse number 3 says this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, here's our first clue of how unsaved lost people that have never been saved deals with the message of judgment, the message of wrath, the message that this world is on a collision course with the judgment of God. And if you know anything about the scripture, you cannot deny that. That is so evident. But the first thing he said was that there will be scoffers. There will be scoffers. Another definition for that word scoffers is mockers. They'll be making fun, making light of the message. No doubt as they did Noah, they probably made fun of him. Oh yeah, that old man. Now you think about this. He preached, let's just say he preached 100 years. Let's say he preached 100 years. Probably 120, but let's just say he preached 100 years. You know what? That's probably 3 generations. That's probably about 3 generations in the Bible. That means a grandson is hearing the same message that Mama heard. Can you imagine that? Young boys, little young girls walking by, hearing the message that Noah's preaching, and come home and tell Mama. So there's an old man down there, and he's preaching about the wrath to come and judgment coming and the flood. Yeah, I remember him too. I grew up listening to him as well. And then Grandma overheard it and said, yeah, so that same old man was preaching to me too. But you know why they weren't on board the ark? They never believed the report. They never believed the report. Hey, amen. Scoffers, making fun. We preach about the coming of the Lord. That's what's implied right here. Look at verse number 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and they're making fun, look at verse 4, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know what that means, really simply said? Well, we've been hearing about this coming of the Lord stuff all of our life. And you know what? Even those before us said that. But you know what? All things just continue right on. As if to say, the preachers and the reporters and those that told it, you know, they're preaching imaginary things. They're not preaching things of reality. Oh my, scoffing and make fun of. Amen. And the world's full of that. What you and I embrace doctrinally that this Bible teaches, the world makes fun of it, makes jokes of it, laugh at it. Oh yeah, judgment's coming, the flood's coming, the rain's coming, fire's coming, this thing's going to melt down. And oh, yeah, right. They just make light of it. But don't ever forget in Matthew 24 what it said about Noah's situation. The Bible said they knew not till the rain. Everything was going well one day, and the next day the rain was falling. How many of them you think was hollering out at Noah, Noah, open the door. We believe you now. You've been telling us all along that this was going to happen, but we didn't take it serious. We made fun of it, in fact. We made a joke of it. But we believe you now, but the only problem with that is it was too late. It was too late. It's too late. Did you know that in hell this morning, everybody's a believer? There's nobody in hell that still says there's no God. Nobody in hell that says that, you know, all that preaching about judgment, there's nothing to it. There's nobody in hell like that. They may have been an atheist when they drew their last breath, but they was a believer within 2 seconds. They may have spent their life, as Voltaire did, of denying that God even is real and exists. But I want to tell you, Voltaire, even on his dying bed, confessed that he was wrong. He confessed that he was wrong. Are y'all listening? In fact, I think I may have that right here. If I do, I want to reference that. I do have it. Voltaire's last words, and he was a noted atheist of years gone by. Here was his last words, and I quote, "O Christ, O Jesus, I must die abandoned by God and men." End of quote. Spent his life mocking. Spent his life making fun. Spent his life in complete denial that there's no such thing. But when the reality was setting in that he was drawing his last few breaths and he was leaving this world, he said, "Oh Christ," the one he had spent his life tearing down and trying to deny and trying to destroy. Now he's calling out, but the only thing wrong with that was that it was too late. Listen to what it says. The report said, for his condition had become so frightful that his infidel associates were so afraid to approach his bedside, they left the room. He passed away, and his nurse said repeatedly, quote, "For all the wealth of Europe, I would never see another infidel die." I can't make you believe. I can't make anybody believe. I can report it. I can tell you, just like they're reporting about the storm, I can tell it's coming. I can tell you what the Bible says. But I can't make you believe. But you will believe one day. The question is, will it be too late? Huh? Will it be too late? Another infidel, Sir Thomas Scott, his last words, died in 1594. Sir Thomas Scott's last words was this, until this moment, I thought that there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the unjust, by the just judgment of the Almighty. Spent their life saying, "No God, nothing to it. Bunch of racketeers, just, you know. People taking advantage of people through fear, scared them to death. Spent their life mocking and scoffing, but when it come down time for them to face the dark hole of eternity, reality set in. That I've been lied to. Brother Fultz, I had rather spend my life, and I've already spent, January will be 37 years that I've been serving God, been saved, serving God. I'd rather spend all of my life, Brother Jeter, preaching what the Bible says, and then in the end find out, Brother Scott, there wasn't nothing to it. What have I lost? Tell me, what have I lost? I'm living the best life there is to live. I don't have to keep looking over my shoulder, Brother Bob, for you know, somebody coming to arrest me that I've committed crimes. And amen. I'm living the best life that there is to live is the Christian life, whether there's no hell or no heaven or nothing. Amen. But what if you spend your life saying there's nothing to it? There's nothing to it. It's just a bunch of hocus pocus. Amen. And then when it comes down time to cross over and leave this world, the reality sets in. I've been lied to, and I have lied to others. I've made fun of what's real. It's too late now. I'd rather spend my life, Brother Bill, I'd rather spend my life preaching, reporting, pointing souls, storms coming, evacuate, escape, find refuge, find shelter. I'd rather spend my life doing that. And then come to find out there wasn't no storm coming at all. I'd rather do that as to discovering the end. When I told my family there was no storm coming, there's no problem. And then, hey, how many think you that died in Noah's day? How many daddies that spent their life telling their kids, ain't nothing what that old preacher man down there is preaching? There's nothing to that judgment and wrath and flood and all of that stuff. There's nothing to that. What about that? More than likely those families died probably within a reasonable vicinity of each other. Or how many daddies watched their children go under? Maybe the, oh my goodness, I've never thought of that. What if the daddy, last thing he heard was his son going under, young, you know. Daddy, you told me this wasn't going to happen. You made fun of that old preacher man. You made fun of that judgment preaching. Oh, Daddy, why did you not tell me the truth? And the last thing he heard and the last thing he saw was his family going under in death and destruction and judgment. Daddy, you owe it to your children to know the truth. You owe it to your family as the head of the house to tell your family the truth. Amen. Listen, I'm not asking you to believe necessarily my report. Here we have a Bible. Get in it yourself. Learn yourself. Amen. They were scoffers. They made fun. And I've met a few of those. I've not met many, but I've met a few of those. But there's a lot of people even in Hawkins County that makes light of it. Oh, yeah, I've heard all that. Yeah, I've heard Grandpa preach about that. And Grandma talked about that. You know, being raised, thank God, being raised in the Bible Belt, being raised where most of us heard more gospel before we was 1 year old, even though we didn't know what we was hearing, than a large portion of the population of this planet has ever heard in their life or ever will hear. Thank God, I'm glad that when I got up old enough to know, even though I didn't get saved till I was 20, I'm glad I heard about Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. We don't know when he's coming. We know he is coming. Just as sure as he come the first time, and there's documents for that. He's coming again, amen? Oh, yes. Thank God, I'm glad I know the reality of that in my soul. I'm not hoping it's right. I'm not hoping it's true. I know it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Amen. And you do as well. Amen. My goodness. I mean, I've got several more last words of people that spent their life making fun and making light. Nothing to it. Nothing to it. And I, as a preacher, More important than being popular, more important than being liked. If I know what that Bible says about what's coming, then I'm telling you I wouldn't be worth, as my daddy says, the salt in my bread if I didn't tell men, women, boys and girls to get away, run away. Here's the wrath that's coming. Here's the judgment that's coming. Run. Of course, Jesus Christ is the only hope, the only refuge, the only escape. The first thing it was said about the lost people, and I know we've got lost people in the service by your own profession this morning. And I'm not picking on you, but I am just being honest with you. Don't make light of it. Don't make light of it. You hear preaching about it, you know what the Bible says. Maybe you've even heard mom and daddy say something about it or grandparents say something about it. Don't make light of that. And don't procrastinate with it. So, I'll do something about that one day. I'll do something about that one day. How do you know? How do you know that? You don't know that. None of us knows about tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Listen, none of us have knowledge that is definite about tomorrow concerning your life. For all I know, I may be preaching my last message. For all I know. And if I knew that, you hear me? If I knew I was preaching my last message this morning, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't care at all for it to be noised abroad through the churches that know Preacher Rackley. The last thing he said, hallelujah. The last thing he preached before leaving this world is warning men, stop. Storm's coming, judgment's coming, leave. Run to Christ. He's the only hope. He's the only hope. Oh my. Said they were scoffing. And then look at this. Verse number three as well. Not only did they scoff, they made fun, but it said here that they were walking after their own lust. You know that's probably the reason they scoffed. You know that's probably the reason they made fun and made light against preaching of righteousness and all of that. You know why? Probably because they knew that if I get saved, my walk is going to change. They walked after their own lust, their own depraved cravings. That right there is probably the greatest enemy to people receiving the truth of God's word, is that they're more interested in walking after their own lust, their own desires. Yeah, preacher, I know you preach that. I know the Bible says it, but you know what? If I get saved, I'm going to have to quit this and stop that, and it's going to change my life. And lost people respond when they hear preaching about how Peter was preaching in this text. When they hear that, you know what they do? They make fun of it, Sister Debbie. They laugh at it. They mock at it. They scoff at it. Why? So they can keep walking, which speaks of their behavior and their direction. Keep walking after their own lust. Well, I know what I need, preacher, but this is what I want. Amen. God help us. Here's a third thing it said about them. Verse number four. Of course, I already referenced it. They were questioning. They were not only scoffing and walking, but they were questioning. Where is the promise of His coming? Can you see that attitude there? Where is it? Y'all been saying He's coming. The Bible says He's coming. All these generations up before us said He's coming. Where's He at? Where's the promise of His coming? But that don't change nothing. That don't change the facts. He is coming still. Amen? So He's walking, and then look on down in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Did y'all get that? That stuck out to me this morning early. They were willingly ignorant. It wasn't just that they were ignorant and didn't know. And there are people on planet Earth that don't have a clue about Jesus' first birth, much less his second coming. They don't even know He came the first time. They wouldn't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. Some places on planet Earth, they don't have no idea. That's ignorance. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know. But this Bible says in this verse, I read it, these people are willingly ignorant. They willingly know what's the truth, what the Bible says, and they on purpose turn their back and are willingly, on purpose, ignorant of what God says is going to happen. I know it's quiet, and I'm kind of glad it is, really, because I want us to get it. I want us to hear it this morning. Amen? They were willingly ignorant. They were willingly ignorant. What about that? Intentionally. Willingly means their will was involved. It was intentional. Did you know it's not going to be an accident if you go to hell? And can I say it the other way? It won't be an accident if you go to heaven. Nobody accidentally gets saved. Nobody automatically gets saved. Well, it's going to happen to me. I'm just going to wait and see. No. Nobody gets saved that doesn't want to be saved. Nobody gets saved that does not ask to be saved to the Lord Jesus, does business with the Lord about that. Amen. Nobody in hell is going to say, oh, wow, whoops, how did I get here? No. And listen, there's a day coming. Let me say a word right here to lost people. There's a day coming in Revelation. It's called the White Throne Judgment. It's not the judgment of believers. It's the judgment of lost people. Amen. Death and hell both is going to give up the dead that are in them. Lost people of all ages are going to be brought to stand before a thrice holy God. And it'll not be a time of argument. It'll not be a time of debate. And the reason they're at that judgment is not because they drank a beer or smoked a joint or robbed a bank or any other sin that you want to add to it. They're there because they never got saved. They never repented of sin, never trusted Christ as their Savior. That is the only sin that'll send a person to hell is unbelief. Amen. Are y'all listening? And the Bible says the names that were not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I had a relative of mine growing up. She regularly would sing that song. I've not heard it in years. Please search the book again. How many's heard that? Please search the book again. It's the image of that song is somebody standing at the white throne judgment. Please search the book again. I thought my name was there. Can you imagine that? I thought my name was there. My name was on a church roll. I was a moral person. I was a good citizen, a good neighbor. I was a good father, a good mother, a good child. I was this, I was that. I minded my own business. I paid my dues and all of that. God says if your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And listen, we're going to be there. We that are saved will be there, but we will not be judged. Can you imagine that? You know, the Bible says, talking about there'll be no tears in heaven. That's not till after the white throne judgment. You can believe it, friend. You and I, we that are saved, standing there, and we're watching people we know, maybe people we didn't witness to, people that we didn't pray for, that we didn't try to make an effort, and we watch them being, as the Bible says, bound hand and foot and cast in the lake of fire. But what if one of them turns around and looks at you? Or one of them turns around and looks at me and says, you knew the importance of me being saved, and you knew that my name had to be in the Lamb's book of life or else I was going to miss heaven. You knew that, but you never said nothing to me. Or you knew that and you lived the way you lived in front of me. You talked the same way I talked. Went to the same places I went, but yet you knew, you didn't say nothing to me. So you better believe they'll be weeping there. Not just on lost people's part, they'll be weeping on our part. There'll be tears, you can believe that. As we watch people, multitudes. And I will say this, I'm telling you, I feel it strong. Listen, if you want to go to hell, you can. But if you want to go to heaven, you can. Choice is yours. You can stay in the path. The difference of the one in Florida is it's going to hit certain areas, certain so many miles and so much of a percentage of the population of the United States. Amen, the rest is clear. But what I'm preaching about this morning, nobody's clear. And you can't get in your car, as some have. We had some here last Sunday. You can't get in your car and drive to Tennessee and escape the wrath I'm talking about. You can't get it. You can't punch a coordinates in your GPS and find where you're out of the path. No, we're talking about what's going to happen to this whole planet Earth. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah, that's good, ain't it? It's been a while since I felt the somber spirit that I'm feeling this morning. But he tells those lost people that and though they were willingly ignorant, make light of and make fun of. I don't even want to start dealing with what the scripture says in verse number 11 down through verse number 18, what our response is to be. What our response is to the end. Listen, we're not talking about the end of time. That is going to happen. You know, Revelation says the time will be no more. We're not talking about that at this very moment. We're not talking about just the end of time. We know there's at least minimum 1,007 years of time left. We know at least that. 7-year tribulation period and then 1,000-year earthly millennial kingdom. But there's a lot of things going to happen long before that ever happens. In fact, before the tribulation period ever starts, guess who's going to be raptured out of here? You say, I don't believe that. Well, it don't matter. Like I said, it don't matter. It's in the scriptures. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, among other scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 1, what is it, verse 9? We've not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking about people being exited out of here. Thrusted out, harpooned out, snatched out. Before the man of sin, the Antichrist, appears, before the wrath that is poured out in the tribulation period, when literally in the middle part of the tribulation period, when it goes from tribulation to great tribulation, and literally the bottomless pit is going to be opened. And there will be creatures come out of the bottomless pit. If you want to read some of those descriptions in Revelation 9, feel free to do so. In fact, I'll tell you how bad it is. The Bible says, not Preacher Rackley, not Baptist, the Bible says that men will seek to die and shall not be able to. Now, you can interpret that ever how you want to. If they're seeking to die, that means they're trying their best to commit suicide, maybe jumping off a bridge, jumping off a building, maybe other ways, self-inflictions, and still not be able to die. Can you imagine that? Screaming for the mountains to fall on us. That's in the Bible. Wanting the mountains to fall on us. Man, it's got to be bad for somebody to get to that point of desperation. You're wanting the mountains and the rocks to fall on you, to hide you from the face of Him and not be able to. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm already saved. I've already escaped the wrath to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey man, that's good. But the saved people are dealt with down through these verses. Hey man. The end of the world, we know that's going to happen. But that's at least minimum, you know, 1,007 years. The world's going to be destroyed. You say, well, preacher, what's the big deal? What's the urgency then? You're not going to be around that long. Hello? Methuselah's the oldest one ever lived on planet Earth that we know anything about. What was it, 900 and, what was it, 969, something like that? I believe that's right. 969 years or something like that. I don't think I'm going to live quite that long. Now, I know this is depressing, but I hope it brings reality. In 100 years, not one person in this room will be alive, more than likely. I'm talking about just going the course of nature, just getting old and leaving this world. Very few people ever goes over 100 years old in our day. Very few. There's a few exceptions, but most people, they leave it. And you never know. Listen, you don't ever know. Kids, young people, you can go out to the cemetery out here at the park. You can go walk through that big cemetery out here. And you can find people of all ages. Little bitty graves, little bitty ones, big ones, young people, teenagers. You don't know. Are you saved? That's the thing this morning. Do you know the Lord this morning as your personal Savior? Listen, you say, you could throw all of your clocks away. You can throw your anything, any time devices that you got. You know what? You can throw it away and say, I don't know what time it is. I'm not going to know what time it is. You know what? That don't stop time. It still ticks on. You can throw your calendar away, but you know what? That don't stop the passing of days, weeks, months, and years. You can ignore it, turn your back, and say, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to subject myself to that. I'm just going to look the other way. Be willingly ignorant as they were. Be willingly to turn your back. You know what? That don't stop nothing. The only thing that stops is you getting saved. Because God never has saved anybody with their back turned to Him. Amen. It's been a while since I preached like this morning. But I'm as certain as I am alive this morning, God has stirred my heart about this. The end. What if the end this morning was the end of your life? And it could be. I didn't told about me. It could be my last. Could be your last. You may be hearing your last message. You may be sitting in your last service. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be real. None of us are promised of tomorrow. Amen. And you've heard this morning that Jesus loves you, died for you. And He shows that love, of course, on the cross of Calvary. But He shows us He loved us by giving us a Bible that's got the Scriptures that shows us of what's coming. Amen. The end of life. And if you die lost, there'll be no second chances. It's over. Opportunity getting saved is over. Amen. So listen, the end of life. If Jesus comes today, that will be an end. That will bring an end. If you've heard the gospel and you're still alive, you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? Jesus comes today, you're permanently lost. You'll never be able to get saved if you've heard the gospel. There'll be people saved in the tribulation period, but there'll be people who've never heard the gospel. But you've done heard enough. In songs, in preaching, you've done heard enough that you're going to be held accountable. The end of your life, if Christ comes. The end of the wooing and dealing of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 6, what was it said in verse 3? My spirit shall not always strive with man. If the Holy Spirit quits dealing with you, listen, you can't get saved. You only can get saved when He's dealing with you, when He's speaking to you. So I trust you'll do business with Him this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, Lord, I come in Jesus' name, and I ask You, Lord, to help us. Lord, this morning, You know the need. Lord, You know the sense of urgency, Lord, in my own heart. Lord, of standing and just trying to bring reference to the end. What's coming? What's up ahead? And there's only one escape, and that's being born again, being saved by God's grace.